Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you, God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God, how we long for your presence. How we long for you to walk with us through every trial and every tribulation that we go through. How we long for you to hold our hands. And as in our longing, Lord God, you never let us down, Lord. You're always with us, Lord. You stand beside us. You're with us through the fiery trials, Lord God, that we go through. And we're very grateful this morning, Lord, for your presence. For it always goes with us. Your presence always goes with us. Always goes with us. You are so faithful this morning, God. You are so faithful. You are so faithful. And we thank you, Lord God, because of your faithfulness. God, forgive us, Lord, when we are not faithful. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't do. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't say those things that you want us to say. But God, thank you this morning, Lord, that you take us no matter what. You love us no matter what. You show your mercy and your grace no matter what, Lord God. As long as we keep coming to you and sitting on your lap and thanking you, our Heavenly Father, that you have done so much for us. You've sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die upon a cruel, cruel cross. That every one of our sins was nailed to that cross with our Lord Jesus Christ. When he died the death, it was our death that he died for, Lord. It was our spiritual death that he died for. He came to set us free. And we thank you, Lord God, that you came, Jesus, into this world. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that right now you are with us. You are teaching us. You are leading us. You are guiding us. You're showing. You're demonstrating. You're bringing more to our remembrance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, as we embrace your word this morning, as we embrace your word. Help your word to stir us, oh God. Help it to feed us, Lord. Help us to understand it in a deeper, deeper way, Lord God. And I ask you to be with me as I stand here this morning, Lord God. Help my lips to say something that would be encouraging to your people, Lord. Help my lips to say something this morning that would feed them, Lord God, and bring them into a deeper walk. All of us, Lord, we're longing for that deeper walk in you. So we thank you this morning, Lord, for your presence. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. We just thank you, Lord. And be with us now as we turn to your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, welcome to church this morning. I think the half that were with us last week have gone and the other ones have come in. Wow. You know, that's the thing about summer, isn't it, that those kinds of things happen. But you and I are here, and I'm glad that Jesus put that scripture in there where two or three are gathered, that he is in the midst. Amen? So we've got that sufficient number covered. We're looked after here this morning, and welcome to church. We're glad to have each one of you here with us, visitors with us. And I always know that when you go vacationing, I try to get to another church when I'm on vacation. Betty and I, we try to take in church. We don't like to miss church. It's no fun. It seems like, you know, if you were to take the telephone poles out in the highway, you know that they place them strategically apart so that cable is going right between the two poles, and it's not too close to the ground. It's not at a distance where trucks could hit it or anything else. It's placed strategically there, those two poles, so that those cables are hung just perfectly between the poles. And I think that if you ever to take one pole out between those telephone poles, something would start to happen. If you were to take two poles out, you would start having the cable start dripping on the ground and dragging into the water, and we've been getting a lot of water lately, and getting down there and start getting shorted out and all the cables and everything else. And I believe it's something like church, like our church is Sunday to Sunday, and when you stand there in those telephone poles and you have the distance in between Sunday and Sunday, whether you're here or you get to another church, you get fed with the Word of God, you're building those telephone poles and you're strengthening the cable of your life that takes us along. Amen? Amen. I thought I'd give you that. That's not on the sermon this morning, but I just thought I'd give it to you anyway, and no cost. No cost involved at all. Amen? But we want to welcome you here to church. And if you get on vacation, which many of us do during the summer months, enjoy yourself, rest and relax, but make sure that you either get to a church, make sure you take your Bible and listen to some good gospel music and just enjoy the summer months. Go ahead, Amanda. It's good to see you with your red hair back there. Amen. She looks so good. You know, how would you like it if I made my hair red? Would that be okay? You dare me, huh? Oh, a dare in church this morning. Hallelujah. I'll do it with mine if you do it with yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I saw this week. It kind of came in some of my emails, and I looked at that, and I said, that's true. Joyless Christianity is dangerous. You know, when we lose our joy, like people around us, like, who are you? Last week you got joy, this week, you know, no joy. And I think that as Christians, we should be the most contagious people of joy. I think we should be the carriers of joy, the ones who always, like, it doesn't matter what we're going through, the smile is on our face, and people would look at us and say, hey, don't you know you just lost this or that happened to you in your life? And I said, yeah, but I've got Jesus. And I've got the joy of the Lord. That's my strength. That's my strength. That's what carries me. If my life was only carried by every situation and circumstance in life, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be shattered. I'd be broke. I'd be lying somewhere, perhaps a bottle to my lips and just trying to drink away my troubles and everything else. But I'm thankful that I drunk in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've been drinking and drinking and drinking, and hallelujah. I like to get drunk on the Holy Spirit, amen? And just to be able to know what I see you laughing, Louise, yeah, grinning back there. Just to be drunk in the Holy Spirit, amen? Drink this morning of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Always have that thirst and hunger for more of Him. Praise God. So, open your Bibles to Psalm 34. I pray by the end of the summer, whenever you get into a sermon series, I pray that your Bible, you just hold it there and it falls open. Psalm 34 just falls open. Last Wednesday, I had a Bible study, and the last two Wednesday Bible studies, I pulled my guitar out, and we have a little devotional, but I pulled out this piece of paper a little while ago with all these old choruses on them, the ones that we haven't sung for perhaps many years. And it's kind of neat, you know, I'm trying to, you get an old chorus, and you sing it, and you're trying to remember how it went, because you haven't sung it for 20 or 25 years. And anyway, I left on Wednesday night. I said to Betty, driving home, I said, what's that song with the King's Highway in it? The King, remember that one? We were driving home, and it bugs you, you know, when you know of a song, and all you've got is a couple of words of the song. You ever been there? That's all you know is a couple of words of the song. All I knew was the King's Highway, and I went home, and sitting there, I wish I could remember that song, you know, and you kind of get to the place, and I woke up the next morning, on Thursday morning, and I started singing it, And thank you, Jesus, because I remembered it. Isn't that great? You know, it's somewhere in the computer. You just have to wait till it starts dishing it out, and you get it. But once I had those two words, King's Highway, I knew it. So I started singing it, and I thought, I just need to get this out of my system this morning. Is it okay if we just sing this little chorus? It is a really neat chorus. We haven't sung it for many, many years, but I don't know if you know it or not. Maybe you do, but this is how it goes. He lifted me up from the miry clay. He planted my feet on the King's Highway. And that is the reason why I sing and I shout. For Jesus came down, 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 and lifted me out. Anybody heard that before? Couple of you, amen. Some people have heard it before. Come on, let's get this going here this morning. I mean, we're having summer, aren't we? He lifted me up from the miry clay. He planted my feet on the King's Highway. And that is the reason why I sing and I'll shout. For Jesus came down, down, down and lifted me out. He lifted me up from the miry clay. He planted my feet on the King's Highway. And that is the reason why I sing and I'll shout. For Jesus came down, down, down and lifted me out. For Jesus came down, down, down and lifted me out. For Jesus came down, down, down. Lifted me out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it neat when he lifts you out? Stuck in the mud, stuck in this life, and he came down, 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 lifted us out. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is so great. Amen. So here we are, Psalm 34. I want to zero in on one verse this morning, if that would be okay with you. You won't get too mad at me if we don't get too much, but we've got the whole chapter to go over this whole summer. So I just wanted to zero in on one verse, and kind of it fits into the whole chapter. I mean, it's not like we're taking one verse and saying, this is what the one verse says, but I take it in the full context of the whole chapter, because you'll see as we go on, this is a lot of stuff that is what David is speaking in this whole chapter, chapter 34. So let me read the first four verses and end on verse 4, okay? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's exactly what we're doing. This is what David says. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. The New Living Translation says, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. And the Amplified Version says, I sought, I inquired of the Lord, and required him of necessity, and on the authority of his word, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Thank you, God, for this word. Can you imagine David in this cave at Adullam with these 400 ragtag soldiers that just kind of misfits and they don't know where they belong? And so they kind of trailed after David and met up with David in this cave. And David is in there, just came out of from King Achish and Adullam there and played this crazy guy to get out of there so he wouldn't get beat up and killed and so forth. So he heads for this cave, and there he is with these 400 guys. And this whole chapter is centered around what happened in that cave. Now, David was running many times from King Saul. This guy had a split personality. I don't know if he was schizophrenic or what was going on with him. One day he loved David, the next day he hated him, wanted to put a spear through him. Next day he wanted to seat him at his table, have him there for dinner, the next day he wanted to kill him again. And it's kind of weird the way things happen. Have you ever been there in life where, you know, walk into work and this guy's happy one day and the next day he wants to drive you to the wall? And you know, and that's kind of happens in life. You know, people around us, I think they call them mood swings. You know, it's funny, the ladies laugh there. Mood swings. Yes, we all have them, and we all know what they are. You know, as I look at this psalm and I look at verse 4, and he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Delivered me from all my fears. You know, we began this Christian life in the miry clay, and he came down, and lifted us out. That's what you call deliverance. He delivered you from a yoke of bondage and slavery and the stuff that you were involved in the world, not even knowing that you'd gone the wrong way. You didn't even know about salvation, and the Holy Spirit worked on us and came down to our life through the Lord Jesus Christ, realizing that Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of us, shed his blood for you and I. He came down, and really, in all sense of the word, he delivered us from that old life. And we started this life on deliverance. We came from that sinful life, and I believe that this kind of delivering by the Lord Jesus Christ is ongoing. I don't know about you, but I need deliverance every day. I need delivering every day. And so I just don't say, well, I got saved 40 years ago, and that's good enough for me. No, Jesus, please, today, I need you today. I need you today. I need you to walk with me. Deliver me. Walk with me. You know, and God does all these things, and so we've got to trust upon this wonderful Savior every day of our lives that he's going to deliver us. Amen? I like another psalm, just two psalms back, written by David as well. He said in Psalm 32, verse 7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I like that. Songs of deliverance. And I believe that every time you and I sing a song about the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus came down to lift me out, these are songs of deliverance. We need to hear them over and over again. When we got saved, don't put all the songs of salvation away and say, well, I'm saved now. I don't have to sing songs about salvation. Thank God. Sing them every day. Thank God for salvation. Sing songs about how you're lifted out of the miry clay. Sing songs about your deliverance, of how he saved you, set you free. Amen. See, David knew his God very intimately, and he knew that God would be with him in whatever area, whatever circumstance, whatever day he was living in. God would be with him, that God could and would surround him with songs of deliverance. That God could and would surround him with songs of deliverance. And as ever I ever get to a pulpit and I realize that, you know, when you have a message that God burns into your heart and gives you something to say, I often realize that maybe there's somebody here today that needs a song of deliverance. Maybe there's somebody here today that just needs to be freed of something. I don't know what it is, but you know what you're going through. You and God are in this together, but God knows that you need to be freed of this, and maybe that's why you're here this morning, is to hear something about deliverance, that God wants to set you free. Amen? So that's where we are today in our summer psalm. I was practicing this week. Can you say summer psalm? Summer psalm. Say it five times real fast. Summer psalm, summer, 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 summer. That's good. You did really good. So I will bless the Lord at all times. Anybody that wasn't here last week, I sang this song in the first four verses, and I like it because it puts melody to scriptures. I think it's a good way to remember scriptures. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us rejoice, exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Not great? And those are songs of deliverance when you get to the place of realizing that Jesus wants you to sing songs and scriptures, and it's good to do that. So here we are, we're zeroing in on verse 4 today, and there's three things that I look at this one verse, and it's really interesting because these three things are things that you and I need in our life. I sought, I seek. When we start seeking, when we stop seeking Jesus, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. So I sought. I mean, here he is in this cave. Here he is running. Here he is stored up, 400 guys with him. And here he is in the midst of all this turmoil that is going on in his life. And he begins to seek the Lord. I like that. It doesn't matter where you are in life. If you need a song of deliverance, start seeking the Lord. And you'll find him. Seek the Lord. I sought. I seek him. And guess what? When we begin to seek God, he hears me. He heard me. That's confidence. That's faith. That you know, some people say, well, when I pray, I don't know if I'm getting through. Have faith in God. That when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, when you say a prayer and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want you to be rest assured that God has heard you. Amen? The old devil will come in and say, well, I don't think he heard you. Maybe you need to get a little louder. Maybe you need to get that sin out of your life. Maybe you need to do this before God will ever listen to you. Maybe you need to get to church again. Maybe you need to start doing this. He knows the scriptures. He knows our Christian walk, the old enemy. He knows how to get us discouraged and get us down and get us all in a turmoil and everything else. But I just want to let you know this morning, when you seek God, he will hear you. And when he hears you, this is the reply that he gives to you. He delivers me. He delivers me. I seek him, he hears me, he delivers me. Boy, that's a simple sermon, isn't it? Hallelujah. We can almost go home now, can't we? But I've got another 2 hours to go here yet. Every pastor, when you get to a 3-point, you've got to elaborate. Right? Well, as I look at these three things, perhaps the greatest and most powerful reason why David would seek the Lord, even why you and I should seek the Lord, I guess if we could put it that way, and listening for his voice, is the final effect it will have in our lives, the final outcome of what God is going to do. Aren't you amazed what God does in our life? Aren't you looking for, I can hardly wait for God to move. And when you seek him, you know, and he hears you, it's stand back in awe, because he's going to do something neat. He's going to do something wonderful. And so that's where you and I have to get is to get to that place where I'm waiting for the outcome. I'm waiting for, you know, I seek the Lord, I prayed, and I'm just waiting to see what he's going to do. Isn't that exciting when you get to that place in your life where you get excited about what God's going to do? And the greatest need of deliverance for anybody is from all their fears. One fear, two fear, all my fears. How many have a bunch of them this morning? You know, you got a bunch of fears. No hands go up. Good. You have no fear. That's good. Hallelujah. We are all in some way holding to fear. It's interesting. You know, I find that when we come to that place in our life where there's some sort of fear, and I'll be getting down to them in just a few moments, But this kind of deliverance is very substantial for us in our life. It's something that you and I need. It's something we all need quite often, I am sure, a deliverance from fear. In fact, it is something that we all face. And I'm sure that just about every day there's some form of fear. And of course, when I say the word fear, you're probably thinking of being scared, silly, or something like that. We all have fears. Fears, and they may be small ones, they may be medium-sized, or they may be gigantic, I don't know, but they are fears. They are apprehensions that we have. And this deliverance is from all my fears, not just the big ones, not the ones that scare me stiff, you know, and all those kinds of things in my life, but these are the ones that all my fears. Say all our fears, all. You know, as I look at this, I went to the Hebrew word here, and it occurs 3 times in the Old Testament, this word for fears, only 3 times, and it's an object of dread or terror, and it's used to denote everything that the psalmist feared, everything. That's what it's taking here in Psalm 34, verse 4, everything that he fears. It's not just saying, oh, King Saul is after me, or these guys, I don't know where they stand, these 400 guys sitting around me. I don't know what his fears were in that cave. Maybe he was thinking about, where do we get food now? How do I feed 400 people? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? All those kinds of things that he's going through. I don't know how many fears he had in that cave, but he's looking at all my fears. That's what he's talking about. So David faced many fears, and it seems that by what he faced, we can learn from his lead on this. And it's put so simply by David in Psalm 56, verse 3. Whenever I'm afraid, he says, I will trust in you. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Whenever I'm afraid, Psalm 56, verse 3, if you want to flip over and see it or underline it, whatever, David says this, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Kind of scratch that on your forehead the next time you get fearful or go through something. Just whenever I have a fear, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Got it? Good. See, the greatest fear is to see a catastrophe of whatever the end is to the fear we have. We're always in fearful of what the end is. You know, it's not, I'm not fearing right now. It's what is lying ahead for me. We're fearing the outcome. We're fearing the end product of it all. And the end of fear is different from what is feared. Do you know that? The end of fear is different from the fear that we have right now. Fear over sickness causes other physical problems, ulcers, anxiety, all those panic attacks. Fear of death can deplete the joy of life from us. I've seen people before, they're afraid of dying. You know, I'll go. I don't mind. I mean, I've always told the Lord, take me gently, please. Just rock me in the arms, close my eyes, and take me out. You know, that's, you know. And we often have these ideas of fearful death and all that. But the Bible says many times, in fact, somebody once said that fear not is in the Bible about 365 times. That means you got one fear not for every day of the year. So fear not, fear not, fear not. And it's great. And the Bible says that fear has torment, but perfect love casts out fear. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When we get captivated by fear, we start losing that sound mind. We go jittery. We go crazy. We say crazy things. We do crazy things. And all those things that happen because of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And that's what we have to have in the times that you and I go through troubles. Fear can be overcome when we understand our God, our position in God, and our relationship to God. That's the only way that we'll ever overcome any fear in our life. Amen? Anybody ever have a dictionary called Funk and Wagnall? I love the name. I can remember many years ago, back in the 70s, on Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, they used to say that. Put that in your Funk and Wagnall. You know, they would say that to you. Well, anyway, in the Funk and Wagnall dictionary, fear is an agitated feeling aroused by an awareness of actual or threatening danger, trouble, dread, terror. It's an uneasy feeling that something may happen contrary to one's desires. I like that. Then I went over to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. I like that. You know, the world is full of fear. You know, I often like going to those, have you ever gone to those lists of phobias? I like them. You know, they're really neat. I just put down here for some for you because I figured that some of these things may apply to some of you people in the church. You know, pelodophobia, fear of baldness. And a fear of bald people. Stay away from me. Isn't that cool? You know, when you get to that place. Or aerophobia, fear of drafts. Fear of color purple. Fear of hairy people. Fear of objects on the left side of the body. Fear of objects on the right side of the body. Auroraphobia, fear of the northern lights. I don't get these. You... Oh, no, Betty, close the window. It's the northern lights. You know, I don't get this. You know, I usually run outside and want to see them. You know, but some people, I guess, are afraid of the northern lights. I don't know why. Fear of obscure meanings. Fear of being seated. Fear of standing and walking. Fear of teeth. Anybody got a fear of your teeth? You know, just go ahead. Take them out if you can. Graphophobia, fear of writing in public. And phobia, fear of being afraid. You know, it's crazy. You know, and I started thinking of these things, and literally psychiatrists and psychiatric places are filled with people who go through all these kinds of things. You know, I was sitting there this week thinking, I should go through and read some of the things here. I brought up my Christian counseling book by Gary R. Collins, Christian PhD, and I thought, well, that's okay. Don't need it anymore. I got the page. It's okay, Betty. Oh, thanks, Betty. It says, Henry Nguyen has written that we who live in the 20th century, of course, it was written 20 years ago, are a fearful people. The issues that fill our newspapers and our minds are not about the perfect love that casts out fear. Instead, each of us tends to be concerned about our own list of fears. Different people are afraid of failure, the future, nuclear war, rejection, intimacy, success, taking responsibility, conflict, meaningless in life. This is sometimes called existential anxiety, sickness, death, loneliness, change, and a host of other real or imagined possibilities. Sometimes these fears can build up in one's mind and create extreme anxiety, even in the absence of any real danger. According to one research study, anxiety often arises because people have irrational beliefs that create fear. And I've got this other page. It says here, middle-aged people feel afraid as they see physical changes within themselves. I think it's called midlife crisis. You know, for many, this time of life brings the first major health problems or fears of death. Many are concerned about the empty nest that will come when the children leave home. Yeah? Yeah? You're in that fear this morning? Oh, okay. You've got a dog? Okay. Others wonder if they'll become rigid and unwilling or unable to change with the times. And there's a fear of one's ability to remain sexually active. And sorry, I didn't mean to put that in there. The evidence suggests that sexual drive and fulfillment persist. And all that can stimulate middle age, reflection, reevaluation, dissatisfaction, and search for new purpose and self-esteem. Frequency this leads to struggles with the twin issues of vocation and marriage. According to one writer, a person must work through these two issues of life. There's to be a successful resolution of midlife problems. So people are going through it. It seems like, you know, the more I read this kind of stuff, and the more I look at people, and the more that the world tries to get me afraid of all the stuff that's going on in this world around me, it seems like mankind is constantly living on the brink of disaster in this place of fear, always living in that disaster and panic. Every once in a while, we see a small part of the panic take place wherever there is even a hint of trouble coming. We get so fearful at times, even Christians. As you read about David in the Bible, realize that God came through for David over and over and over and over and over again. Read the book. That's why he wrote the Psalms. And because of God's faithfulness to David, he wrote Psalms of God's goodness to him, of God's faithfulness to him, of God's mercy, of how he saw him through, how he lifted him from the miry clay, how he took him and put him upon a rock to stay. And when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. He learned those things, and so he dictated them to us. And you and I have the Word of God to read and understand that when you and I face the same things that David faced, and every one of us will face in this life, that you and I, when we trust in God, we've got a bedrock of something that's sure, and it's a foundation that's going to take us through all those things. You see, I believe that God is a powerful God. Do you believe God is powerful? I believe that God is powerful. He is able. He is abundantly, exceedingly over able to do more than we could ever ask or think in our life. He can do anything he wants. He can do it anytime, any place, anyhow, because he's God. He's in control of this whole wide world. And so I believe in God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in him on Sundays or Sundays only? No. Say no. That was your cue. We believe in him every day of the week. We believe that God is powerful even on Monday morning. Amen. Even when you go to school, he's powerful. When you go to work, he's powerful. When you're sitting at home, he's powerful. He's a powerful God. You know, there's a book called Revealing Stories, Why People Are Leaving the Church. Whenever I see something like that, I kind of, whoa, what's going on here? People leaving the church? You better not think of leaving the church. I'll come after you with a lasso. But this guy that wrote this book, William Hendricks, he wrote this about revealing stories why people are leaving the church. And they took a survey asking people why they no longer attended church. And the most common complaint in this book was not music. A lot of people, you know, well, it must have been music. You know, God's a big troublemaker in churches. You know, and they probably said, well, that's why people are leaving churches, because music. No, it's not that. They thought, well, maybe it's the facilities. They didn't like the facilities. It wasn't like this, or it should have been like that, or, you know, the building should have been on a slant. I don't know. The most common reason given for leaving the church was that the church did not provide for them an opportunity to meet with God. Did you hear that? That's why people are leaving the church, because the church did not give them an opportunity to meet with God. That's what he says in the book. In other words, they came hoping to experience something of God. They wanted to experience him, and in God to be spiritually fed. They wanted to understand more about God. They're delving into God. I want to know him. I want to be in relationship. Tell me, Pastor, how do I get into a relationship? How do I grow in this faith? How do I do it? How do I know more about God? How can I live for God every day of my life? So that's what people want to know. I mean, it's more than just raising your hand in a service and say, thank you, Jesus, come into my heart, and I will walk out of church. I want to know how to grow. I want to know how, when I get outside that door, what's going to happen to me. I want to be able to know how to handle that. And people want to know how to do this. I mean, if God's word is powerful, if God is powerful, then I need to find out about that. And so, as he wrote in his book, he said, apparently it doesn't matter if the service is entertaining. When interaction with God is absent, eventually the church loses its appeal. Wow. And the bottom line, I guess, is when people do not connect with God in some way, there's frustration and emptiness, and they begin to drift away. Frustration, emptiness, and they begin to drift away. Entertainment in the church, he says, will not hold us to God, nor will lots of food, even though we love it. Amen? I like food. Nor all the stuff that we do. Only God's word will stand. Only God's word will stand. I like the word of God. What are you laughing about, Betty? I told Betty a few weeks ago, I said, I'm reading my Bible up here, Betty, and print is getting really small. Now, in fact, I was really going over some of the words as I was reading, and I said, it's really hard to see. So a couple of weeks ago, I went on Christian Book Distributors and looked for the biggest print Bible that I could find. And this one is, it's called Super Giant Print. Super Giant. Man, I don't want to miss the Word of God. I don't want to stumble over it or anything else. I want to see it. So when you get to my place in life, you need the Super Giant Print. Let me know and we'll help you get one of those Super Giant Print Bibles. So, you know, sometimes people, they might put down, the Bible is getting too small. I can't read it anymore. Get yourself a Super Giant Print Bible. Don't ignore the Word of God. Amen. Get it big enough for you. Take a magnifying glass, whatever you need to do to get the Word of God into you, but you get it into you because you need to be fed. Amen. Praise God. Only God's word will ever take you through those things, and it will only stand. See, churches today need to ensure that the word of God is being preached and stood upon and pushed towards the people and let them know that that's all it's done. And I believe that not only the word of God, that you and I need to allow Holy Spirit to move in the services. Amen. We need to invite Holy Spirit. And whenever I preach up here, I sense Holy Spirit moving, and I sense what he's doing in people's lives and my life and our life together as a congregation. And we need to pray over every service that you and I meet in, that God's rich anointing would come down upon us, just like as in the days of the old when the cloud would be there and the fire would be there, and when they got into the tabernacle and they opened the Word of God and the Shekinah glory came down in that place and they couldn't even allow the priest to get into the mercy seat because they couldn't even see with all the cloud of God and the cloud in the midst of all that God was doing in their presence. And we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our service. We need the Word of God. We need to invite Holy Spirit. And when you say, God, this is not a church service unless you're here with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we need those things. Hallelujah. We need it. We need it. You know, have you ever heard that term, you are what you eat? I've heard that. And so somebody said, well, if you eat turkey. I believe it's the same thing spiritually. You are what you take in life. If we worship superficial things, our life becomes superficial. Isn't that right? If we worship perverted things like they did in the Old Testament, they got into all the Baals, our life becomes perverted. If we worship evil things, our life will become evil. If we adopt all those, you know, Ouija boards and stuff out there and people who read their horoscope. It starts with horror. I don't even know why people would go there. You open that up, and all of a sudden it tells you what your day's going to be like. Man, I just go to the Word of God and tells me what my day's going to be like. I don't need, what happens if you miss a newspaper? What happens if somebody forgot to put it on the internet for you and the internet crashes? Your horoscope's gone. Ah, what am I going to do? Turn to the Word of God. That's what you should do. Amen? Get rid of all that hocus pocus and phony stuff and everything else. You worship evil things, you become evil. If we worship the true God, we will become godly. We will become godly. We'll walk after God. We'll begin to talk like God. We'll begin to act like Him. We'll begin to think like Him. We'll begin to just move in the Spirit, and we'll become godly. Isn't that what you want? We want it to be godly. You see, without a deep sense of God in our lives, the enemy loves to permeate mankind with fear. He likes to permeate us with fear. And Psalm 34 teaches us many things, but one great thing that David was constantly in need of was deliverance. How about you? Deliverance from all my fears. And I like this because, you see, I looked at the word fear here, and David gives us the one side of the fence of fear, but he also gives us the other side of the fence. There's two types of fear here. There's the fear of the unknown or the outcome of circumstances, but there's also here in Psalm 34 the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. So our choice as followers of Jesus Christ should be to know, to understand, and practice in our life the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is a reverence due God. It's a holy commitment, knowing that it's holding a high standard in our life because He's a holy God. Be holy because I am holy, He says. And so we want to walk in a standard that is not like we used to walk in the world, but we're walking by a standard that we're driving towards being more godly in our life. I want to become holy. How about you? So we become holy. We want to have an integrity before God. We want to have an honesty before God. We want stand firm in honesty and holiness. And it's basic, practice what you preach kind of life. Practice what you preach. If you want to be holy, then practice it. Don't just preach it. Amen? God wants us in relationship with Him. In that relationship, we walk in the light as He is in the light, says 1 John. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And this is a walk that God desires for all of us, but will only be evident from those who fear the Lord. And so Psalm 34 is the fear of the unknown. He delivered me from all my fears. But then you go down to Psalm 34, verse 7, and it's really interesting because the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Isn't that great? You got to have the fear of the Lord to be able to get the substance going in our life. Then you go down to verse 9. He says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him." Isn't that great? No want to those who fear Him. I like that. Then you go down to verse 11. It says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I will teach you the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, Pierre, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You want to launch out into wisdom? Get the fear of the Lord in you. Just get it in there. And it's the beginning. The wisdom starts coming. The interaction with God starts coming. It's a beautiful thing. See, David in that cave at Adullam wanted all those 400 men with him to understand that we all face fears. We all face fears. They are real. But the greater fear to have is the fear of the Lord, and that's what he wanted them to understand. That's why he only has one verse for the fear of the unknown, but three more verses for the fear of the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe as he looked at all their faces in that cave, and the Lord led David to say in verse 11, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." Or verse 4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." So he looked at these guys right in their face and said, "I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears." And he was trying to get that across to these guys. "I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from my fears." So I think that he was looking at guys who were probably going through a lot of fear in their own lives, David wanted to get across this to them. So seek God and he will hear us, and God delivers us from all of our fears. Amen? All of our fears, all of our fears. I don't want fear. How about you? This is my preferred one. Free of fear, free of fear, free of fear. Amen? Hallelujah. I heard a story, maybe you've heard this before, I think it's quite old, but an elderly woman just returned home from church, and when she was came in through her front door, she was kind of startled by this intruder in her house, and this intruder was going through all of her belongings, getting ready to take all of the ladies' precious jewels in her jewelry and stuff that she had kept there for years and years. And all of a sudden she says, Acts 2:38. And the guy fell flat on the floor. And so she dialed 911. The police got there and said to this guy lying on the floor, like, what happened? Well, the lady, like, she shouted out. The policeman said she just shouted out a scripture, Acts 2:38. Oh, I thought she had an axe in 2:38. this guy, just burglar, intruder, fell flat on the floor because he was afraid. See, David is a man of scripture to keep our eyes upon. He's a man who certainly has some things for us about that we need in our lives. How about you and I? And he says it so simply, so profoundly, but yet all to understand what he is saying. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In a situation of life, here it is. I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Ever try that? Or do we mix it in with something else? Well, I sought the Lord and went this and tried that and everything else. I don't know if he heard me or not. I'm still in the same situation. It's kind of like our Christian life, isn't it? Seek the Lord. And on Wednesday nights, we're saying, God, I want to hear you. And he heard me when I seek the Lord. And he delivers me from all my fears. Delivers me from all my fears. Delivers me. See, God clears our account out of all fears and their causes. Isn't that neat? When you came to Jesus, he wipes the slate clean. You invited him into your heart. You said, God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And he looked at us through the blood of Jesus Christ and wiped the slate absolutely, totally clean. Sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, this is still bugging me from my past. And yeah, I know, but I did that 5 years ago. I said, did you do that on the other side of the cross? Yeah, I did on the other side of the cross. I said, then Jesus doesn't know about it. He forgot all about that. He wiped the slate clean. And the old enemy's trying to bring that up to you. Whenever somebody comes along and says, I've still got this in my life from 10 years ago before the cross, I would say, you got a pretty weak cross then. Because my cross, where Jesus died upon, is a powerful cross. He wiped the slate clean. There's nothing still there. My heart is empty. He emptied it. He just wiped it all clean. I'm not going to go around listening to the devil saying there's something still in there. You may have some all the baggage that you're going around because, remember, you used to lie a lot. Well, you maybe still lie a lot in this side of the cross. But every time you lie, you can come to Jesus and say, forgive me. I did it again. I did it again. Amen? But if there's some sin on the other side of the cross that the old devil keep bringing up to you, don't worry about it. It's gone. Jesus wiped the slate clean. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to cleanse us and deliver us from all my fears, he's wiping the slate clean. So you don't have to have fear of that fear anymore. You don't have to fear phobia, fear, or anything like that. You don't have to have that anymore. He wipes the slate clean. It's fear of all its causes. It's gone. It's called trusting in God. It's called seeking the Lord. It's called I sought the Lord. It's called putting your life in his hands. Amen? Having faith in God, believing in God that he will bring it to a good result. That's faith. Recall when Moses sent out those 12 spies into the promised land? He sent them out and all those 12 spies came back and 10 spies were shaking in their boots. And they said, we can't do it. Man, those people are big. We're like grasshoppers. They're giants. There's no way. Moses, don't even think of it. And Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, what are you talking about? Didn't God say? Didn't God already promise? Didn't God tell us this? And I love going down to the scripture where it talks about, and Joshua and Caleb when they stood up. And it says in Numbers chapter 14, 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and he's followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went and his descendants shall inherit it. He had a different spirit. How about you this morning? Do you want a different spirit? Well, he'll deliver you from all your fears. Hallelujah. I like what Paul said to Timothy. I believe that when Paul went out, and read about it in 2 Corinthians, all the stuff that Paul went through, shipwrecked, stoned, beat up, whipped, all these things that he went through, and yet he kept going for the Lord Jesus Christ, never gave up. And so he said to his son in the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. He was dictating to him, like, I've been through a lot of stuff here, Timothy. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, now listen to what Paul says to Timothy, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Isn't that cool? When Paul said that to Timothy, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, all, not some, but who desire to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution, but God will deliver us from them all. Isn't that great? And I like, you know, when Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount, sitting there teaching his listeners, and he says this, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his life? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I like the Word of God. You want some help today? Go to the Word of God. I believe that Jesus, when he was giving that on the Sermon on the Mount, that he looked at the face of those people that were sitting before him. He could probably see the worry, the fear, the stress, the panic. Maybe there were some people there that they were loyal to the Sanhedrin. They were loyal to the synagogues and all that. And so all of a sudden they come out to listen to Jesus. And oh, I hope nobody sees me listening to Jesus. The fear that may have been on their hearts that day, the people that were sitting there listening to Jesus. Jesus is looking at them. Come on now. You worry about everything around you. Just look after today. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. Sing songs of deliverance. That's really what Jesus wanted to have. Let me finish with this devotion I read this week. Isn't it neat when you read devotionals that sometimes they just kind of cue right in to where you are? Just they go right where you are. And as this week I was thinking about this message, and I read this one devotional. It's a little long, but just be patient, okay? It won't take me another 15, 20 minutes to read it all. Just kidding. But it's a real neat devotion. Let me give it to you. Listen carefully. Today is a little different from yesterday. Today, when today shows up, comes in running, as though it's in a hurry. Yesterday, I was in my adolescence and tender teens and teachable 20s. When today showed up in my tireless 30s and forceful 40s and then my fevered 50s, today came in running. Today seems to say, you better do what you can do now because when you bat your eye, tomorrow will be here. And let me recommend that you try not to put off into tomorrow what you could do to today. If you've mistreated somebody, don't wait until tomorrow to go. Let the person know that you're sorry. If you're going to do something for the Lord, don't keep moving the dates until the tomorrow or next week, or next month, or next year. Do it today. There are those of you who are working on next year. However, you need to finish out this year. Next year is not even promised to us. If you're going to praise him, do it now. If you're going to work for Jesus, do it now. John chapter 9, verse 4 says, work while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. I got tomorrow's phone number, and tomorrow wouldn't even answer me when I called. Tomorrow wouldn't even talk to me. Tomorrow is keeping me in the dark. If I only knew what to look forward to on tomorrow, how to deal with tomorrow, I would be all right. But I hear the Holy Spirit saying, handle today and let tomorrow take care of itself. Jesus said, when you pray, ask God to give you this day your daily bread. Why couldn't I ask for tomorrow's supply? If you ask for it day by day, then you will have a fresh bread supply every day. You will have his presence every day because he will have to show up tomorrow to give you another loaf. So stop worrying about tomorrow. Do what you can do for God today. Another day may not be on your agenda. I like that. Worship team, would you come, please? Hallelujah. I also saw this slide this week. Your painful story brings God's glory. Your painful story brings God's glory. Amen. And He delivered me from all my fears. Delivered me from all my fears. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a few moments? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your word. Thank you, Lord, as we seek back into the scriptures in Psalm 34. We read something that's very powerful and very significant. One line that David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God, I pray this morning, as we've all heard that word here, let that word start taking effect. Let that word start reaching into the heart. Let the word of perhaps somebody here who is fearful today, that's going through troubled waters, let that verse of scripture reach into their heart, Lord. Let it go deep into their spirit right now, Lord. Let them hear those words, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God, I praise you this morning, Lord, because if there's somebody here that is going through a real tough time and they're just really apprehensive about the results, they don't really know the outcome, and they're really troubled by it, Lord, I pray this morning that this verse of Scripture has been very powerful and meaningful to them. I pray, Lord, let it just go sinking right deep into their spirit right now, that it would change them, Lord God, and we rearrange their life so that even when we open our eyes, Lord, after I end this prayer, Lord, they would feel the relief of God coming in to deliver them from all their fears. I ask in the name of Jesus that any person here today that is going through any type of fear, anything that would stress them out or bring anxiety or worry or anything else, I ask in the name of Jesus to be released into your hand right now as they seek you, as they seek you, as they seek you, every one of us, as we seek you, Lord, and you hear us right now as we're seeking you, as we're crying out to you, Lord, as we're embracing the word of God. We know that you hear us. But God, the wonderful solution, Lord, and the blessed response is from you, that you will deliver us from all of our fears. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you release us from those things that we go through. Oh, God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. And God, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. In the glorious name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How do you feel? Did you know that God is good?
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
Amen. This song says, in the verse, it says, if you're walking through the valley and there are shadows all around, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound, because he promised to never leave you nor forsake you, and his word is true. Amen. Hallelujah.
God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. You're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he
will keep you safe and sound. 'Cause he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. For his word is true, God is good.
Good.
All the time, he put a song of praise in this heart of mine.
God
is good. All the time, through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good. Sinners, so unworthy, still for us he chose to die. Fill us with his Holy Spirit, now we can then testify that his love is everlasting, and his mercies, they will never end. God is good. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans he left for me, my life is in your hands. Through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. The darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. 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 All the time.
How many believe that? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, as we go from this place today, let the Word of God grab hold of our lives. And as we go from this place, we're going to live and walk in victory because we sought the Lord and He heard us and delivers us from all of our fears. So we thank you, God. Go with us. May we have a great day in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church shouted,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.